the house. I am so glad. I am fighting a cold, though. I've been telling the church all morning. So forgive all this congestion and stuff that I'm working through. Man, when you're sick and you tell people out in public, it's crazy the stuff I get. I was in Chicago yesterday, and this guy gave me a case of antibiotics. It was like, here, just take this, man. And I was like, dude, I don't even know you. You giving me antibiotics, you know? And this one guy gave me a prescription for marijuana, and, you know, and he actually looked like he was legit. So it was like, all right, Lord, what do I do here? Because, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. I want to be obedient. So if I all of a sudden fall asleep and start eating Cheetos up here, y'all know the medicine is kicking in. Y'all know the medicine is kicking in. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that in church. I'd never eat Cheetos in church. I'd never eat Cheetos in church. My mama raised me better than that. She did. Book of Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to go tonight. Book of Exodus chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 1 and we'll go to verse 4. Book of Exodus chapter 3. Begin reading at verse 1 and we'll go to verse 4. Hear these words of our Father. You know, nobody told me, how long do y'all preach? How long do y'all usually go in this service? Don't say long as you want. I'm black. And I'm from Mississippi. I'm black, I'm from Mississippi, and I'm high on weed. We'd be here all night. I'm just kidding. Y'all calm down. Y'all just relax. I'm not from Mississippi, and it's not. No, I'm just playing. How long y'all is it? 30 minutes? 20 minutes? 35 minutes? Oh, look at y'all. White people going 35 minutes. Oh, all progressive. All right. 35. The spirit is moving. Hallelujah. All right. Hey, it's the end of a long day. I'm a little turned up. I'm just going to tell you the truth. In the spirit, though, that's y'all are funny. All right. Exodus chapter 3. Hear these words of our Father. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much. Thank you for this great gathering of your sons and daughters tonight. Father, we've gathered together to listen. So would you speak, O Lord? Would you speak, O Lord? Father, would you tune our ear to your voice so that we might hear you ever so clearly? Father, would you turn our hearts toward you so that we might experience the fullness of all that you have for us? God, it's to that end that I ask that you stand in my body, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, those things you'd have us say, know, and do. Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Get glory in this place. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. The joy of the journey with Jesus It is not found in the destination. The joy in the journey with Jesus is not, the goal ain't to get there. The goal isn't, I just want to get there. When I get there, then I know. No. The joy in the journey is not getting there, because the problem is you can get there and still not get God. You can accomplish all that and get all the way there and get there and not get God. But if you get God, then it don't matter where you get. But because as long as you get God, then you got it good. And it's good because if it's God, then it don't matter where you are, because there you are with him because you got God to begin with. And it's all good. You don't even know what I said. You wasn't even listening. You was texting. The goal isn't to get there. The goal is to get God. And when you get God, you learn that the joy in the journey is him. He is the journey. He is the joy. And once you've begun to walk with him and rest in him, and when you get God, then it is inevitable that you get what God gives. And what God gives, one of the greatest treasures that he gives, and he gives time and time again in our life, he gives us the gift to begin again. He gives us the gift to begin again. If you've been walking with Jesus, I can guarantee you, you will experience this in your journey with him. As you get him, as you understand him, as you rest in him, as you worship him, you will experience these moments when he taps you on the shoulder and he will say, begin again. You get a fresh start. You get a brand new beginning. Begin again. That's what happens with Moses in our story. If you're not familiar with the passage of Scripture, if you've seen The Prince of Egypt, you are right on target. You are right where we need to be. Only difference is Mariah ain't going to come down in the middle of this joint. She ain't coming. But in the book of Exodus, we see Moses, he's starting to see in his facial features that he looks more like the Hebrew slaves than he does the Egyptians. Although he was raised in Pharaoh's house, he began to see the injustice that took place out in the fields. And one day, overwhelmed by it, he couldn't take it anymore. He goes out and fights an Egyptian who's beating a Hebrew. Well, the fight goes bad. Moses kills the Egyptian. The Egyptian dies. He hides the body. And now Moses goes out the next day. And when he goes out the next day, he sees two Hebrews fighting each other. And he's thinking, now I just killed an Egyptian for doing what y'all are now doing to each other. And he goes and breaks up and says, come on, y'all can't do this to each other. And they look at him and say, well, what you gonna do, Moses? You gonna kill us like you did the Egyptian you did yesterday? Y'all saw that? Found out. A murderer. A liar. Pharaoh now wants him dead. And now Moses is on the run. His sin, his failure, and the guilt and the shame of his failure and his sin now has him running and hiding on the backside of a desert. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been in trouble. I don't know if you've ever sinned or done anything wrong. I'm not sure if you've got any failures in your past, but it's crazy how sin and guilt and shame will cause you to run and hide. And shame will follow you. Shame will hover over you. And you will find yourself hiding on the backside of your life, trying to avoid being found out. There, clouded with guilt, shame, failure, confusion, crisis, secrecy, silence. It is there where we see the divine, loving, grace-filled hand reaching into Moses' life, saying, Moses, I'm not done with you, Moses. I'm not finished with you, Moses. I still got a plan. Moses, I still got purpose. Moses, I still got a promise. Now ain't the time for giving up. Now ain't the time for giving in. Moses, you can begin again. And Moses gets a new start. Moses, in the backside of the desert, meets a woman. Now, some of y'all live in Southern California. You can't find a woman. Moses, in the backside of the desert, found a woman. What does that say about you? Come on, man. Get it together. He running away murder. He a convict running, and on the backside of the desert, he just bump into a woman. You walking around Orange County? Come on. I don't know what that was about. It was in my spirit. Somebody in this section. Come on, open your eyes. It's right up in here. I don't know who that is. I want you to see God taking the pen and started to write a new beginning to his story. Got a wife, got a new family, got a new job. Because if you're going to have a wife, you need to have a job. Which speaks to the previous problem. Maybe you can't find her because you ain't found it. Get a job. Then she may appear. I don't know what that's about, but somewhere right over up in here. I don't know. Moses gets to begin again from failure. I guess the first point I want to make here tonight, friends, is that if you are a failure, if your life has been marked by guilt or shame, if your life has been marked by past mistakes, you got to be careful, because when your life is at its lowest, Satan's volume is at its highest. Huh, that was good. Let me say that again. When your life tends to be at its lowest, Satan's volume seems to be at its highest, and all you hear are your failures. Well, I need you to hear tonight, God says, as long as there's breath in your body, there's still purpose in your chest. I've got a plan for you. I've got work for you to do. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up. Lift up your head and see the salvation of the Lord. Behold, I will do a new thing in your life. It's for all of y'all, but it's really for somebody right over here. I just want you to see it. I'm prophetic tonight. I may get off this little stage and walk around a little bit tonight. Not yet. Now's not the time for giving up. God wants to do a new thing in your life. He's saying, I'm not through with you. That time was not your last time. You get to begin again. Satan would love to have you done with, but God still got purpose for you. He still got plans for you. He still wants to use you. We see Moses in our passage. He's got his groove back. He's kind of got himself together. And he goes over, and that's when it happens. God taps him on the shoulder now for the second time and says, Moses, it's time to begin again. He says, huh? Begin again. No. We good. I don't need to begin again. Did you see? I got a family. I got a job. I finally got it settled. I got my daily rhythm. I'm good. You don't need to begin with me. You've done all you, Lord, you have done too much for me already. I am good. I got a whole list of friends you can go help out. Jill, yeah, she jacked up. Go help her begin again. She way worse than I am. No, don't worry about me. As a matter of fact, you don't have to do nothing new this year. I can just do what you did last year again. And we'll be good. That way I'll at least know how to plan. I have my little stuff together. One of the most frustrating things about following Jesus and experiencing the joy of the journey of being in him is that even when you're successful, he still calls you to begin again. Even when you got it going on, when you finally figured it out, right? When you get comfortable and you figure out this, okay, this is this and this is that, and that equals that. Praise the Lord. He says, okay, now come on. Let's go from algebra to stats. Any engineering majors in the house, you ought to just say hallelujah right there when you hear that. He says, because I'm taking you to another level. I want you to begin again. And he calls Moses a second time to begin again. It's hard to begin again. It's easy when you messed up and your life is filled with guilt and shame. It's easy to say, Lord, you can just have all of me. It's, well, you ain't got nothing. You can hear, of course he can have all of you. You ain't got nothing. You broke, busted, and disgusted. You are a prime candidate. You know, so we hear begin again. We like, yes, Jesus, begin again. Yes, Lord. Can we begin again today, tomorrow? When are we starting over again? Praise the Lord. And can we start with my credit score, Jesus? Can we begin again with that? And can we begin again with this relationship? Can we begin again with this job? How many things can I begin again? How much can I throw on the cross and start all over again? So some of us, we hear that message and we get excited. Because we have nothing. But for those of us that's got a lot of stuff, you've got a lot of success. You've got a lot of comfort. You've done a lot of things right. When he calls you to begin again, it's not an easy message to hear. Because the question is, Lord, if I begin again, will you disrupt what I have? And do I run the risk of disrupting the comfort that I have going after the calling that you have for my life? Did you get that? Do I run the risk of disrupting what I have trying to go after the calling that you have for my life? See, comfort is a deceiving thing. Comfort will breed complacency, and complacency will cause you to miss the call of God because of the comfort of your own life. I call it this idea of the blockbuster syndrome. Y'all, I know y'all probably never heard of blockbuster. It's a thing that used to happen back in the 80s and the 90s. It was a place where you would go to rent these things that we called VHS tapes. And I know the jargon, video cassette recorders is what they were called. You would play the VHS tape in a bigger box thing, which we called a VCR. It's weird, I know, but it's how we entertained ourselves back in the 90s. Families would gather together and they'd load up in cars and they would drive to the Blockbuster store. I know it's hard to believe, but families, they would gather together. They would get their children and they're young, and they would gather them together, and they would go, and they would literally walk the aisles of the stores of Blockbuster, and they would look at different tapes, and they would have categories. Categories, can you believe it? They would have new arrivals, comedy, horror, family, kids, and you would just look, sometimes for hours, just looking at all the beautiful options that you had. Sometimes you would spend more time in the video store looking for the video and had more fun doing that than you did actually watching the movie. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got any witnesses up in here? I got any up in there? Yeah. So, and then, you know, then the biggest challenge of renting these things is you got to remember to take them back, because they're not yours. They were just for rent. But you get it, and then, you know, and they give you 2 days and sometimes 4 days. But then after that, they would have these late fees where they start charging you, and you have late fees of, you know, $75 million. Because you forgot to take Back to the Future back. You know what I mean? And you could have bought it for $10, and now I owe you, you know, and they would hold you hostage, and you couldn't rent another movie till you paid it off. So, Yeah, it's horror stories. Sometimes you go to the go there to rent five movies, but you can only rent one because you had back fees from the last one. So he's like, kids, we can only get one because Junior forgot to take his movie back the last time. It's just terrible. So back in the year 2000, Blockbuster, they would brag the fact that they had 9,000 stores, 60,000 employees, $6 billion in revenue. 800 million of the 6 billion was in late fees. That's why I'm glad they went out of business, because half that's my mama's money. This young upstart company, man, comes along and they say, Blockbuster, listen, the new wave now is not VHS tapes, it's DVDs. And it's not them coming to the store and renting DVDs. It's mailing the DVDs to their house. You mail the DVDs to their home, and then that way they don't have to come to the store. It's the new craze. I'm telling you, everybody's into it. Blockbuster laughs and is like, we have 9,000 stores. People don't have any problems with coming to our store. People love coming to our store. You should see it. Families come in. We sell them popcorn while they're in the store and get them to buy drinks and Twizzlers and whatnot. We have great times in the stores. Nobody wants to have stuff sit to their home. This company's like, no, I'm telling you, our market research shows that people are going to love getting it in their homes. They don't have to drive to the stores. And so this company said, you could buy us for $50 million. You could buy us for $50 million. Blockbuster laughed about it and said, we made $6 billion last year. We don't need no DVD mail program. You know what I mean? So this company comes back a couple of years later and say, hey, I'm telling you, this thing is about to take off. Not only do people want DVDs to be mailed to them, but there are no late fees. So the whole idea of late fee is done. They were like, oh, we made $800 million on late fees, bro. Ain't nobody got no problems with paying late fees. I'm telling you, you kids don't know what you're talking about. They were like, yo, I'm telling you, it is the wave of the future. By the way, this company's name, it's called Netflix. Hit fast forward, you know how this story ends. Year 2013, Blockbuster would close their 9,000th store. CBS runs a special on Blockbuster, and they record that the last movie to be rented from the final Blockbuster that was open was entitled, This is the End. What happened to Blockbuster is at some point they lost their mission. They made their mission about providing VHS tapes for people to rent and not making their mission providing home entertainment for families. Because if their mission was home entertainment for families, they'd still be in business today. Y'all don't get what I'm saying, do you? This is what I'm trying to say. Don't allow your life to become the spiritual Blockbuster. And you miss the new Netflix thing God is trying to do in your heart, your life, and in your soul. There's a new beautiful thing, and there's a new beautiful story that God's going to try to create, he's trying to write. Don't you assume self-righteously and arrogantly that you are too big and too comfortable to change. You're too big and you're too comfortable to do a new thing. Don't think that you've got the plans all figured out. God is going to do a new thing, and ears have not heard, eyes have not seen, neither has it entered into the heart of man all that God has for you. You have no idea how good it will get, but it'll never get that good if you stay where you are. You've got to leave the place of complacency and comfort and answer the call, even if you don't know where you're going. He calls Moses from what he knows, from what he's experienced, from what he's comfortable with, and he says, Moses, Moses, I've got something more. And I'm telling you, God's got something more. Don't settle. He says, come, my daughter, my son. It's time to begin again. I want to do a new thing in your life. I want to stretch you. Some of you, he's calling you to go on the mission field. He wants to send you out to do something, saturate it with his purpose in his kingdom and his glory. He says, I want you to begin again. Some of you, you just think you figured out your career path. And to that, he is in heaven laughing. He said, oh, you're going to figure it out? You don't want to consult the creator of the whole universe? You don't think I should be in on that deal? You just want to do that without me? Okay, let's see how that goes. He's saying, but if you look to me, I think the greatest lesson we learned from Moses is what we see him do at the very end. This is all leading up to that big moment, the burning bush. We know this moment. We've heard of it. When I was a kid in Mississippi, I'd hear about the burning bush, and I thought, you know, man, a bush catching on fire, dude, that's a miracle. Well, you move to California, you realize bushes catch on fire all the time around here. That ain't a miracle. That's Tuesday. You know what I mean? That's every day. You know what I mean? What was crazy is the bush talking. You know what I mean? Usually to have a bush talking, you would have had to smoke a bush first, and then you hear a bush, smoke a bush, hear a bush, hear a bush, see a bush. That's terrible. Anyway. But God doesn't speak from the bush. Watch this now. Until Moses steps away from the comfort and looks up and inquires God's voice. And then the Bible says, and when God saw Moses looking, then God spoke. I'll say it again. When God saw Moses looking, then God spoke. Could it be that you are waiting on God to speak and God is saying, I'm waiting on you to move? I'm waiting on you to step away and inquire. I'm waiting on you to step away from the comfort and all that you, I'm waiting on you to surrender all of that and step away and open up your hands so that you might be open, so that you might be ready to receive what I have for you. And when you step away, when you open up, and when you inquire, then when I see you move, then I'll move. Just like that. Only six of y'all got that. I'm praying for y'all right up in here, y'all. When you move, I move. Just like that, Moses. You waiting on God to move. God is saying, when you move, then I'll move. Just like that. So you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, move. Get out the way. To some of you, it sounds ludicrous, but it's not. You've got to get over yourself. You've got to move. Get out the way. You got to look up to heaven, and with the voice of an angel, you literally have to look up and pray a prayer and say, hello, Lord, it's me. I was wondering. Okay, never mind. Okay, but you know, I guess what I want you to understand and what I want you to hear is whether your life is marked with failure, whether it's marked with success, God is saying, I want to mark it with a new beginning. Whew, that was good. That was real good. Let me say that again. Whether it's marked by failure, and I'm not saying all of y'all are failures. because it's like some of y'all over here too. But whether your life is marked by failure or whether it's marked by success, God is saying, I want to mark it with a new beginning. And in that new beginning, it begins with your surrender, with your yes, your posture, your ability to open up your hands, open up your hearts, look up to heaven, and say, yes, Lord, move in my life. It's kind of like y'all know these fancy bathrooms now, they don't have, like, everybody's so germophobic, they don't have knobs because it's all hands-free, you know what I mean? But you think they put some instructions somewhere so you'd know how to get the water on. You know what I mean? Because you just, you know, I'm in the bathroom 20 minutes trying to figure out how you get this thing. How you, I'm waving around and ready. I'm nay-naying. I can't get the thing on. I don't know what to do, you know? And then finally, intuitively, I just stick my hand under and the water comes out. I guess maybe what I want you to understand tonight is that God is saying, if you just stick your hands under, if you just put the posture of your heart and soul in a place of openness and surrender, the living water of the Heavenly Father will flow. When the living water flows, you'll experience the new beginning that He has destined for your life. You want the living water? Extend those hands and receive. He's calling you. Moses, Moses, there's an assignment for your life. There's a purpose for your life. These failures won't disqualify you. Your success won't qualify you. It is by the grace of God that He's calling you to a new place, to a new level. And what He needs from you is for you to move, get out of the way, extend your hands, and prepare your heart to receive. Look up to heaven and say, Lord, fill me with the living water. Give me what you have for me. By your grace, Father, I will begin again. For your glory. Amen.
As we like to do on Sunday night, we believe that God has been speaking to you through what Albert shared. But now I think that God kind of wants to do that next step. To maybe kind of take it from 30,000 feet and hone in a little bit. And so we're going to stay in this place and in this moment, and we're going to respond to what God is speaking to our hearts and what God is telling us needs to change or needs to look a little differently. And so there's opportunities to respond all around the room. There's going to be folks on either side to pray if you need someone to stand in with you. There's a prayer wall where you can write out your heart to God. Confessional cross, stones of hope, and even communion, where we get to just celebrate that it really, when we talk about beginning again, right, it's because of Jesus, the work of Jesus. He's the one that says, I've finished it, and you get to start over fresh again and again and again. And so this moment, these moments are yours. They're yours to respond around the room, but I would encourage you, after you respond, stay and worship with us. Sing. Engage, stay engaged. There's room to walk and raise your hands in the back and to do whatever it is that God's calling you to do. But this is your time. Respond around the room as God is leading.